On March 31st, 1909, there was a construction project that started in Liverpool, UK. The project was to construct the world's largest ocean liner ever built. This project was completed 2 years later, April 2nd, 1912, and in only 13 days would meet her destiny with an iceberg, which would result in one of history's deadliest peacetime marine disasters. I am sure by this short description, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I am, of course, talking about the RMS Titanic. I have always been interested in the historical story of the Titanic and how massive she was, and the short time that this glorious ship was around boggles my mind. How she so quickly came and went. I mean, the paint probably wasn't even dry before she sank. I feel there is some sad irony in this ship being labeled as unsinkable and with less than 3 hours of hitting an iceberg on her starboard side, she sank to 12,000 feet to the bottom of the North Atlantic. And here's some side notes on why ship and boats are given she names. For one, men love boats. Men name their boats after important women in their lives. Sailors in the past dedicated their ship to a goddess or mother figure. Boats are likened to a mother carrying humans inside the hull or womb. But most likely it comes from the origin of languages, having female pronouns. And I didn't make this up, but it's on the internet. So old sailors used to say, like a woman, a ship is unpredictable. The construction of the Titanic began in 1909 by the Harland & Wolff Company in Liverpool, England. She was owned by the White Star Line, which was owned by J.P. Morgan. We should know that name because he was one of the 20th century's richest persons, and his name is still on banks and money lending companies today. And at the time, Titanic cost $7.5 million to construct, which is approximately $180 million today. And a funny fact, the 1997 movie Titanic cost $200 million to make. So just think about that. At the time of her completion, she was the largest commercial passenger liner. Length was 882 feet. The beam, or the width at the widest point, was 92 feet, and her height was 175 feet. But this sermonette is not titled The Titanic, but I would like to discuss the horrible fate of the ship and the tragic events that her passengers went through to help us think about how men of the world believe that the things that they build or create are unsinkable. Whether it is a huge piece of machinery that awes the imagination or a mass false religion that the majority of the world follows, the creation of men will be inevitably wiped off the face of the earth with the return of Jesus and his saints. So if you would like a title for my sermonette, it would be this: Unsinkable Faith / Plan of God. And if it wasn't for the egos and carelessness of Titanic's builders and people involved in the ship's operation, this tragedy could have been avoided, or at least the loss of life could have been minimalized. Some Titanic facts and failures that made this such a tragedy. On her maiden voyage, she was carrying around 2,230 people. A correct total of passengers is hard to say because some people canceled at the last minute and some traveled under aliases. But it is said around 1,345 were passengers and 885 were crew members. Of those on board, around 713 survived. That is a 32% survival rate. Somewhere around 1,500 people perished. Titanic only had 20 lifeboats, enough for only 1,178 people if they were filled to max capacity. And the 20 lifeboats is actually more than that was legally required at the time. I think legally they had to have 16 lifeboats. But they didn't believe that they were going to need the lifeboats. And the right number of lifeboats would have made the top deck look too cluttered. Also, they only intended the lifeboats to be used as ferries to move passengers to the rescuing ship, believing that Titanic was unsinkable. But Titanic sunk before the Carpathia answered her distress calls. Carpathia arrived four hours, and Titanic sank within 3 hours. When they did use the lifeboats, they were not filled to capacity. And the water temperatures at that time of the year were 28 degrees, when usual temperatures are around 45 degrees. Most people died of cardiac arrest in the freezing waters. Titanic had a single outer layer. Most ships today are double-hulled. Titanic radio operator ignored the ice warnings by the SS California. They were moving too fast in icy waters, even though there were ice warnings. It was a still, icy night with no waves at the bottom of the glaciers or the icebergs, which made them hard to see. The steel that the Titanic was made out of was a type that was very brittle in cold temperatures. The rudder was undersized, which made turning slow. And I feel, in my opinion, the main reason is before her maiden voyage, a coal fire had weakened the part of the ship in the same area that the iceberg struck. All of these things aided in the culmination of the tragedy that we know as the Titanic sinking. After the investigation of the crash, there was no one held responsible, and it was called an act of God. Only Captain Edward Smith was said to be traveling too fast in waters known to have icebergs. This is just an example of how to show how some men believe their creations are unsinkable or everlasting. But there are too many human factors involved in this world, which is why the world is corrupt and dying, and why Jesus, together with his saints, will have to fight when he returns to stop people from living their way and to start living Jesus' way. But they will not put down their hands and give up. Some may, but the majority will put up a fight to hold on to the life and traditions they love. And we know only Jesus and the Father can make something that is everlasting, something glorious that we have the chance to be a part of, something unsinkable, to be a child in the family of God, something that will never perish. We must have the unsinkable faith in order to make it through this world and to make it through all the negativity floating around us. Faith to stay strong until Jesus' return. In Matthew 17:20, Jesus says to them, "Because of your unbelief, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." Jesus used the mustard seed as an example because it is the tiniest of seeds, but in a few short months can grow into a 10-foot tall plant. So just as the mustard seed is tiny, the tiniest bit of faith can grow into something substantial. Many patriarchs in the Bible had unsinkable faith. Faith that kept them going throughout their lives and through the many hardships they went through. We must also stay strong in the faith. Have the faith strong enough to lose a job over, to lose a friend over, to lose a family member over, and to lose your life over. Hebrews 11, we all know, is the faith chapter. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. By faith we know that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things that were seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. By faith, Enoch was taken away so he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. Enoch pleased God, and without faith it is impossible to please God. By faith, Noah prepared an ark for the saving of his household. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive as an inheritance. And he went, not knowing where he was going. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. She bore a child, even though she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. These are just a few examples of the faith we need in conjunction with works to please God and to be part of his family and his master plan for the world. And God is our Father. And there are many scriptures that mention that he is our Father and we are to be his children. Jeremiah 31:1. At the same time, says the Lord, I will be the God of all the families of Israel, and they shall be my people. To the end of verse 9, for I am a father to Israel, and Ephraim is my firstborn. Malachi 2:10. Have we not all one Father? Has not one God created us? Just as your parents created you, and you call them father and mother, the Lord that created all things wants us to call him Father. Matthew 6:8. Jesus tells us not to be repetitive in prayer when praying to God. He says, your Father knows the things that we need before we even ask. Jesus calls him our Father. Jesus thinks of us as his brothers and sisters if we believe and keep his commandments. Ephesians 4:4. There is one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. The great plan of God and the faith that we must have to be in that plan is just that, great. So great, in fact, we, his first fruits, have been given the calling and opportunity before anyone else to be in the family of God. God did give man the ability to think up great wonders like the Titanic or the internet. Most men of this world think the things they create are the end-all, be-all of human existence. Most do not realize that it is God who gives them their abilities. Maybe if they did, more would create things that would better this world instead of for their own ego or financial gain. Others use that same creativity to invent false religions and add and take away from the scriptures to benefit themselves. But we know the truth. We have been given great abilities, each of us. The ability to know God's plan for all. The ability to be in his family, and the ability to have unsinkable faith.